Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Mark 4, in the first verse, it says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into his ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell good ground and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Isn't that good? You know, he's talking to their spirit, isn't he? He's not just talking about your physical hearing. He's talking about your spirit. Are you hearing with your spirit today? He's talking about his laws, isn't he, of sowing and reaping. And he's trying to teach us some things about sowing and reaping. Amen. "And when he was alone, they that were with him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" Well, that's interesting. You know, he talks about his laws here, and he says that if you don't understand this, you're going to have a hard time understanding anything with the kingdom. You know, his laws pretty much are connected to everything he talks about. Amen. When he's talking about love your neighbor and talking about loving God, he's talking about his laws. Amen. You know, if you don't put him first and you love God first and you don't love your neighbor first, you're not going to reap good things in your life. Amen. So he's talking about how it's important that you understand that sowing and reaping affects everything he talks about. "The sower soweth the word, and these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on the stony ground, and have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which thorns such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So it's interesting. Some of you this week, you know, the Lord is talking to me. You know, God's been speaking to you the last 2 weeks, and maybe even through me, you know, by the Holy Spirit, you know, and he's given you a word, you know. But then again, the enemy, he doesn't like it when God's given you a word, you know. And it's important that we protect his word. Can you say that with me? Protect God's words. Amen. You know, his words are important. Amen. His rhema word, when he speaks something down into your spirit, it's important. You know, when I'm talking about a rhema word, it's a live word. Amen. It's the kind of word that, you know, takes care of you. Kind of word that's kind of a prophetic word telling you about your future and giving you guidance and direction. You know, his words are powerful. They're uplifting to your life, and we're supposed to live by them. Amen. His rhema words on a daily basis. You see, we have certain obligations when it comes to his, when he speaks to us. It's very important that we protect it and that we honor his words. Amen. This is one of the reasons I like to write down his words. You know, when he gives me a word, I got a little section in my phone. I have a note phone, a Samsung note, and I like to write down what he says in there, and I'll put little notes in there of what he's saying to me so I don't forget what he says. And it shows the importance of his words to me. Amen. It shows that I care and respect about what he says. You know, I know there's times when people get aggravated when you don't feel like you're being heard, you know, and it's like you don't want God to feel that way. You want him to feel honored and respected. Amen. We need to make sure that we're showing honor and respect to what he says. Amen. It shows honor and respect concerning his words when you write it down. Amen. But one of the most important things we need to do is protect God's word when he sows it in us. And I was thinking about this today, you know, and it's interesting, you know, I remember I was watching a movie called Remember the Titans. I don't know if y'all have seen that movie. It's a Disney movie. It's a very good movie. And in the movie Remember the Titans, I remember he's the coach is out there, and this one particular scene, this player's out there, and he was a running back. And he gets out there and he gets hit real good and he loses the ball, you know. And, you know, as a running back, it's a challenge, you know, to get out there. Their number one key thing is to keep not lose the ball, you know. And turnovers can actually affect the game in a huge way, you know. And he gets out there in this particular scene, he gets hit real good, loses the ball. I believe they run it back, the other team, for a touchdown right in the middle of the game, you know. And, you know, it's a huge impact on the game. Well, you know, it's in our lives, you know, we take hits all the time. We deal with different challenges, you know. But I remember what he said to him. He says, "Why are you dropping my football?" He was kind of harsh on him, you know. But he was letting him know, you know, it's important to hold the ball, you know. And, you know, you think about what God's word, you know, we don't need to be dropping his word. I've watched several football players, you know, and different pros and different football, you know. And, I mean, they just take several hits when it comes to, you know, being a running back. Now, I can think of some great names right now. You might be able to think about it, too. But they take tremendous hits because they're trying to get that ball away from them, you know. And the enemy is the same way. He likes to attack you and try to get the word from you. Amen. And we're going to talk about that some more, but you know, you need to protect the word. Amen. It's not just being about being fast when you think about football, because I've seen several running backs that are just super fast, but they couldn't protect the ball, you know. And you know, you can have certain skills, but key skills are important when it comes to protecting God's word. And we're going to talk about those key skills today. Many football games have been, and the majority are altered by the running back's ability to hold that football. Amen. I remember even there's a part in training. I remember watching some football players train. And I mean, they literally just, they have these like big bumpers that they just let them run into and get hit all over, you know, trying to get them to drop the ball in practice, you know, trying to teach them to hold that ball, you know. It's important, even in soccer, you know. I know we have some people that are in some other countries, you know, even in soccer, and they call it football in other countries, you know, watching the ball and knowing where the ball is and keeping up with the ball and protecting it is very important, even in soccer, you know. I mean, games are won or lost on your ability to know where it is and where it is in the field, amen, and to know if who's got it, and you're protecting it, your team, and you're trying to protect it, you know. So it's important. Say it with me, protect the word, amen. This is a major issue with Christians today. This isn't a little issue. This is a major issue, you know, when it comes to protecting God's word, you know. And battle won, and lives are, you know, are changed on your ability to protect what God says to you. God will speak to them, and they get all excited about it, and then they forget all about what God said to them. It's terrible, you know. But God's trying to get them to where they need to go. He's trying to get them to the future they have, but they don't value his words. And we need to value his words. Let's look at some things concerning God's words, or his seeds he sows into your life. God's words to our lives. Number one, it's important to know that Satan knows those words are precious. Amen. Yeah, he wouldn't attack you if he didn't feel like they were precious and they were going to affect his kingdom. Let's look over to Mark 4:14. Let's look at this real quick here, what we were talking about there earlier. It says, "The sower sows the word, the ones along the path, that those who have the word sown in." Now, actually, I'm reading the Amplified here, by the way. I know it's a lot different than what I read earlier from the King James, but it says, "The sower sows the word, the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which was sown in them." This is interesting. Why would Satan himself show up at once in your life when he sees you got a word from God? Wow, you think about that. It's obviously something very important. You know, you think about abortions today. Why is he trying to stop them as soon as people are being born? Wow, you know, because he knows the ability of that seed is very, very important. He wants to stop it before it even starts. You know, that's because he knows once it starts, it's a totally different thing. That tells us that God's words are lethal to Satan's plan. Wow. Think about that. His words are lethal to what Satan's plans are. You know, what God's trying to say to you, you know, is something so important. Satan wants to come himself to stop it. You see, if you keep and protect God's word in your life, your dream has a high probability of coming true, and Satan hates that. Think about that. Think about it for a minute. You know, he wants to stop your dreams. He wants to stop your ambitions, the things that you want to happen in your life. He wants to stop them so much that he wants to show up as soon as they start. You know, I remember I was at a service one time when my friends and I were getting saved in a church a long time ago. And I remember right after we got saved, the pastor said, "Now I want you to know, you won your old babies." He says, "There's a real enemy out there." And the reason why he was telling us that, as soon as we got saved and before we even went and got our little materials that we got saved and things, he wanted us to know because he didn't want the enemy to come and steal the word out of our hearts. You know, he wants you to feel like you're not saved, and he wants you to feel like you're not going to be prosperous. He wants you to feel like you're not going to fulfill your destiny. Why? Because he wants to stop those seeds that are being in your life. And so we need to remember that Satan wants to stop God's words from producing in the right way. We all understand it's much easier to stop a bike when it starts out. You know, I mean, you jump in front of a bike, you stick your foot in front of the tire. It's easy to stop a bike when it starts out. But when the bike is at a high speed, it's much harder to stop, isn't it? You know, I mean, you're talking about injury, you know, if you jump in front of some bikes when they start. I remember my dad, we were racing around a fire station one time, and we were chasing each other going around when I was a young boy, and we're going around this fire station, going around real fast, and he was riding one of our bikes at a 10-speed we had, and we forgot to tell him that there were no brakes on that bike. And I hear him yelling in front of me. He says, "Hey, how come this bike won't stop?" And I said, "Dad, the brakes are out." He's like, "What?" And he hits a curb and flips. I see my dad fly in the air. I mean, he's a big man. And he flips over the curb and falls into a yard, you know. But it's much harder to stop a bike when it's going fast, you know. I mean, Dad could have threw his feet down. He has a high chance of getting hurt. You know, he had a high chance. He said the only option he saw was to hit the curb and to fly into a yard, you know. So funny when you think about it, but it was terrible at the time for him, I'm sure. But, you know, you need to make sure, you know, that, you know, you get the bike rolling as quick as possible so the enemy can't stop your dreams and your ambitions from coming to true. Amen. Don't let him steal the word before it even gets going. That's what he's trying to do so many times. You know, don't let him do that. Amen. Number two, it's important to hold on to the word when you're being faced with trouble. Let's look over at Mark 4, the 16th verse there. He says, "In the same way, the ones sown unto stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept it and welcome it with joy. And then they have no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. When trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away." So some of us, when we receive the word from the Lord, and Satan throws trying to get you to forget what God has told you. How many times does that happen? You know, God speaks to you. Next thing you know, you wake up, you got one of the largest bills in the world you ever seen in your mailbox. You know, you got fires going off everywhere, you know, major challenges, you know. Why is that? Well, he's trying to get you to abandon the word of God. He's throwing challenges in your way to kind of get you to lose track of the word of God. Amen. Suddenly many fires to put out, and you become more focused on the fires. Wow. So it's interesting. So he says that you can be displeased. Is he trying to get you to be displeased with your life? Have you ever felt displeased with your life? Maybe now you're indignant or resentful. That's what the Amplified brings out. People can get indignant and resentful. Why? Because of challenges being thrown in their way, and the enemy is just trying to get you to forget the word of God. Amen. Boy, Paul dealt with a lot of that, didn't he? You know, remember when his boat went to pieces? You know, he could get mad at God and mad because of the circumstances, mad because of all the challenges thrown in his way. But he got through it, amen. And a matter of fact, the angel came and spoke to him. He said, "Be of good cheer." I'm sure that wasn't easy for Paul, you know, but he's telling him to be of good cheer. Why? Because Paul could get indignant. He could get displeased. He could get resentful, you know. He's like, because not serving the Lord can be challenging, because, you know, the enemy doesn't like it when, the seed is sown to your life. Amen. The enemy uses challenges to stop the progression of God's word in your life. Why? It's an effort to get you to abandon what you believe. Amen. Or to get you to look more at your problems than God's unfailing word. Amen. See, the enemy knows, you know, if you cultivate the God's word, it's going to produce. Amen. I preached a message a long time ago. We were talking about this, me and my wife. I said, I remember preaching it. It was actually at Rhema Bible school there. I preached, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? You know, God's word doesn't fail. It doesn't return void. Amen. So if you take care of his word, you hold on to his word, it is going to produce. Amen. That's what the enemy hates. That's why he's going so much after it when you get a word in your life. Amen. It's important to, number three, by the way, it's important not to be given over to distractions when God's given you a word. Amen. Let's look over at Mark 4, the 18th verse there real quick. Now, this is what it says, and this is the Amplified version. It brings it out a little bit more, and we are reading the Amplified now here on this. It says in the 18th verse, it says, "And the one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares," and listen to what it says, "and anxieties of the world and distractions of this age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire of other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." The enemy loves to throw distractions at you. Think about this now in your life, you know. All the things, when God speaks to you, you know, all the distractions that come into your life. You know, suddenly you got tickets to a show you want to go to, that, you know, and you should be focused on the things the Lord's talking to you. Suddenly you get, some tickets to a football game, you know, in another state, or you're going to be gone for a week. And, you know, it's like the enemy's trying to get you distracted so you won't focus on the things that the Lord has for you. You know, hey, why don't we watch, you know, this program that, you know, we can watch all week and, you know, just sit at home and eat popcorn, you know, but not really get focused. You know, God's trying to get you to get to doing some things now, you know. What does he get you distracted on? Notice he says cares or anxieties. What is he distracting you with? He causes anxiety in your life and cares in your life. It's interesting, you know, because the enemy's throwing these things at you just to get the word out of your life. Think about that. Are you so caught up with the cares and anxieties of this life that you have lost sight of God's precious word in your life? What has he spoken to you today? You know, what is he throwing at you today? Baby needs food. Gas bill due. Light bill needs paid. We can go on and on, can't we? You know, he throws everything he can to distract you, can't he? What about the cravings and passionate desires for other things creeping in? Have you let your cravings and desires become unbalanced? Are you not putting what God's word for you where it needs to be at the front of your thinking, you know? We need to make sure that we're putting his things first, you know? God's stuff comes first in our lives, amen? He needs to be put first in your life. He doesn't like to be not put first in your life. He wants to be, you know, your source for everything, you know, your joy, your peace. He wants to be your everything, but you have to put him first, amen? You know, and I didn't say it was easy, you know. I mean, you get up in the morning and you want to put him first in the morning. It's not always easy, you know. I get up really early and, you know, it's not always easy to grab my Bible the first thing when I get up, you know. But, you know, I know it works and I know what it produces. And so I try to make sure that I'm putting him first. Amen. So it's important that we put him first in everything, and we put his words first. His words are powerful in your life. And what he's speaking to you about is powerful in your life, and they need to be put first. Amen. Amen. Are you putting him first? One person said the things that are least important in your life should never be at mercy of the things that are most important in your life. Oh, that's a good statement, isn't it? And if you want to write it down, I'm going to say it again. The things that are least important in your life should never be at the mercy of things that are most important in your life. That's powerful, isn't it? You know, God's word should be the most important things in your life, and it shouldn't be something else competing with it. Amen? Amen. Nothing should be competing with his word. And there's going to be lots of things all the time that want to compete with his word. The enemy's going to make sure of that, you know. He wants to make sure that there's lots of things competing with his word, you know. And are you going to hold on to what God's told you? Are you going to put it first? Amen. It's your decision, you know. I can't come to your house make sure that that's what you're doing, that you're putting God's word first. It's up to us as individuals, isn't it, to put God's word first, you know? You know, we can't do it for each other, but it's important that we make sure that we're cultivating it and we're putting it first, amen? Number four, we must cultivate God's word in our lives. Let's look at Mark 20 there in the Amplified verse, or the Mark 4:20, the 20th verse. Those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive it and accept it and welcome it and bear fruit. Some 30 times as much as sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. Wow. Cultivating the soil can really, really produce some good things in your life. Amen. But you got to cultivate the soil. It's important to cultivate God's word in our lives. It's important. Well, you know, my wife, she takes care of plants, you know, and in fact, I was just getting her some soil the other day for some plants that she just got, you know, and she understands, you know, because when she started, she had a little bit of challenges, you know, taking care of plants and stuff, because you have to learn to cultivate the soil, how much water to give them, how much, you know, soil, when the soil needs to be changed, and when the roots are getting long, you got to make sure that you have the right size pot for these plants, you know, and it's important that we take care of the soil. We make sure that we're putting them in the right environment and doing the things that we need to do. Now she produces all kinds of plants all around the house, and she doesn't have bad success with them, you know, because she's learned to cultivate them, you know, learn to take care of them. You know, we need to learn to cultivate God's word and to take care of his word and put it as priority. Amen. Here's some good ways you can cultivate God's word. Okay. And I'm going to go over them real quick because I am really, really possibly going to go way over time if I'm not careful here. Number one, think about it often and fellowship with God about it. Amen. That's a good way to cultivate it, by thinking about it often and fellowshipping with God about it. You know, talk to God about what he's talked to you about. Amen. Think about it often. Make sure that you put it as priority and you think about it often throughout your day. You know, keep it in the front of your thinking throughout the day. I love to do that with the things he's talking about. Like I was this message, you know, he was talking to me about it about 3 days ago, and he's been talking to me every day about it. So I cultivate it and I think about it. And then I talk to him a little bit about it, you know, and stuff, and make sure that I spend time. You know, I've been doing it for a long time, so it's like I like to talk to God about what he wants me to speak about, you know, praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4, let's go over there real quick. 1 Timothy 4, you know, as ministers, you cultivate his word a lot, and you have to really work at it, you know, to become, you know, good at cultivating what God's saying to you, because you want to get an end-time word for people out there, you know. You want to make sure that you're getting something from him each time you speak. You know, I wouldn't even want to speak to you if I didn't have something from him, praise the Lord. I ask him. I say, God, what would you like me to talk about this week? What would you like me to talk about this day? Even when I'm doing a series, you know, like I'm doing one on authority now, and I'm about to be the seventh message in, I ask him what he wants me to talk about, you know. And, you know, and he's so faithful. He gives it to me all the time, you know, but I learned to cultivate it and spend time. Even when I'm writing it down, I'm like, what else you want me to talk about? You know, what would you like me to talk about in this message? I want it to be tailored to the people that are listening to, you know, that are listening to it. And it's important that, you know, with your life, you know, he's speaking to you, that you're listening to it and you're thinking about it and you're fellowshipping with him about it and you're cultivating and making it bigger on the inside of you about it. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:14 there, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Listen to that, though. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Wow. It sounds like Paul really valued God's words. Amen. And he valued the gift of God that was put upon Timothy's life. Amen. 1 Timothy 15, the Contemporary English Version, says, remember these things and think about them. I like that. So everyone can see how well you are doing. Boy, that's good, isn't it? You know, we can see how you're doing because, you know, if you're meditating and thinking about God's word, it seems to have an effect on you. You know, you'll have a little bit more joy and a little bit more peace if you're meditating and thinking about what God's saying to you today. Amen. It gives a different, you know, aroma about you, or a different, you know, picture about you. You know, you just see, you know, I don't know if you've been around people when they've got a word from the Lord. It seems like they have more of an excitement about their step. You know, more of a joy in their attitude, you know, because they've gotten something from the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I like that. In 1 Timothy 4:15, the Passion Translation says, make all of this your constant meditation. Oh, I like that. He says, make all this your constant meditation and make it real with your life so everyone can see that you are moving forward. Isn't that good? He says, make it your constant meditation. I like that. And make it real in your life. That's so good. Meditate. I looked up in the Webster's Dictionary. I thought it'd be interesting because actually I was looking at a lot of these verses and actually used the word meditate from the English. So I thought I'd look it up a little bit and get a few different definitions from the Webster's Dictionary. And it's interesting what meditate means in the Webster's Dictionary. There's some different meanings. It says to engage or reflect. I like that. So throughout your day, you should be engaging and reflecting, you know, to engage in mental exercise. Isn't that good? We should be using our minds mentally and exercising the things that God's given to us, you know, seeing ourselves doing those things. Amen. Getting a good picture on the inside of what we're doing. To focus one's thoughts on, reflect on, or ponder. To plan or project in the mind. Isn't that good? I like that. To plan or project in the mind. Amen. So look at this. Write it down. Even when God, did you know that even God writes down his words? He values his own words so much he writes them down. Did you know they wrote down the Ten Commandments? Your Bible right there, the number one selling book in the world, he wrote it down. He wrote down his words, didn't he? Yeah, he values his own words. Amen. And we need to value his words. If he values his words, we need to value them even more. Amen. And so we need to make sure that we're writing them down. Habakkuk 2:2 says it like this. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk 2:2 in the Wycliffe version says, and the Lord answered to me and said, write thou the sight, either revelation, and make it plain on tables. What's he speaking to you and what are you seeing? Are you writing it down? That he may run and shall read it. And the Lord said to me, write thou what thou seest and make it clear on a table. Read it for a courier to carry. I like that. Ready for a courier to carry. Is your message so clear that someone else could get it and take it, you know, and a courier could take it to someone else and they could read it, you know, make it clear, make it precise. I was looking it up, you know, writing down things. I thought it was interesting. Dr. Gail Matthews, a psychological professor at the University in California, recently studied the art and science of goal setting. She gathered 267 people together, men and women from all over the world and from all walks of life, including entrepreneurs, educators, healthcare professionals, artists, lawyers, and bankers. She divided the participants into groups according to who wrote down their goals and dreams and who didn't. And she discovered that those who wrote down their goals and dreams on a regular basis achieved those desires at a significantly higher level than those who did not. In fact, she found that you become 42% percent more likely to achieve your goals and dreams simply by writing them down on a regular basis. Wow. How much more, you know, precious are God's words, you know, and you think about that and people don't even write them down or pay enough attention to them. Amen. The likelihood that you'll transform your desires into reality goes up even higher and further if you should share your written goals with a friend who believes in your ability to succeed. What I call a partner in believing. I like that. You know, the Bible says, run with those of like precious faith, you know. So when God gives you a word and you can talk to somebody that really believes it's going to come to pass, it even has a higher likely that it will actually come to pass is what the psychologist is saying. That's powerful, isn't it? Well, number three, and this is pretty important too, act on it. What is God telling you to act on now, you know? You know, maybe some things that you can't act on, but there's some things you can act on, you know. James 2:20 says it like this, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:20, the Amplified says, are you willing to be shown proof, you unproductively spiritually deficient fellow? I sure don't want to be called that, you know, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, you know. Man, that's powerful. That faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless. Wow, that's what the Amplified Bible says. You know, you don't want to be an unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow. You need to be acting on something today. Amen. You know, basically, he's calling us lazy. We're not acting on God's word, and we don't want to be called that. We don't want to be unproductive, spiritually deficient. Amen. We want people that are acting on God's word. Amen. What part of it can you act on today? Think about it. What can you do today? You know, if you're wanting a job or you have a dream of being something, can you get an education? Can you start somewhere now? Can you get out and start acting on some things now? You know, maybe you're wanting a certain kind of business today. What can you do now? Maybe you don't have the money you need right now, but what can you do now? What can you do now to start that word that he's given you? Amen. It's important you do something. You can't just be sitting there. Amen. Ask him what you can do now. You know, God's not hiding things from you. Amen. He wants you to achieve your goals and your dreams. He's not hiding things from you. He wants to help you. Amen. Number four, make a constant decision. You're never going to quit on it. Now, this is important. You know, we're not supposed to be people that quit. Amen. We're supposed to be people that are making a conscious decision that we're never going to quit. This is why people lose their marriages and they lose all kinds of things, is because they don't make a conscious decision that they're never going to quit. You know, when it comes to God, you want to make a constant decision you're never going to quit, because we already know that the enemy is going to throw things at us. Amen. We know that he's going to throw challenge. We just read the Bible. You know, he's going to throw things at you because he wants to stop things. So you've got to make a constant decision right now. You're going to have to draw a line right now before it even starts. You know, you're going to have to say mentally and in your spirit, you know, that, hey, I'm never going to quit. Amen. So it's important that you don't be a person that quits or gives up in the middle of what God's called you to do. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Amen. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So Paul says that we're going to deal with afflictions, but he says no man should be moved by them. Amen. Amen. You know, if you already know that you're going to deal with challenges, then you know you need to make a decision. Amen. Right now, you know, people get married out there. You know, if you're listening to me, you know you're going to face challenges when you get married. So you need to make a decision. I'm not going to give up on it. Amen. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to cave in. You've got to make that decision before you start. Amen. We need to decide like Paul. We will not be moved. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says it like this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for so much that ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I like that. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's important to note that we always know that the outcome of every challenge that we face when we're walking with God, and when the enemy's throwing challenges at you, you know that we're always going to come out good. Amen. For 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That means every time. Amen. Every challenge, everything you're dealing with, you know how the outcome is going to be, because he tells you right here. He says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So you know, if something's coming at you, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, that you're going to always triumph. I like to get up every morning and say, I'm always going to triumph every time. I say that to myself every morning. Every time I'm going to come through it. Every time I'm going to get the victory. Every time I'm going to have triumph through Christ Jesus. Amen. You should say that. Put that on your refrigerator. Put that in your car right there by your steering wheel. You know, I'm going to come through this with no problem. I always triumph through Christ Jesus. If you're on your bicycle, put it on your handlebars. Praise the Lord. Amen. And whatever you ride and you drive, or if you're just walking, you know, write it on your hand. You know, that's a scripture you should make sure that you have in front of you all the time. I'm going to always triumph through Christ Jesus. Amen. Say it with me. I always triumph. Amen. And you need to say, I would say that every morning when you get up, I always triumph. I'm always going to come through this every time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Father. We thank you, Lord, you've been so good to us, Father. I hope that people got what they needed today, Father. And Father, we just love you, Father. And we thank you for your precious words today, Father. And Lord, we just ask, if there's somebody out there, Lord, that's got a word from you, Father, Lord, help them, Lord, to cultivate it in their lives, Father. Help them to let it grow. Help it to produce much fruit, Father, so that they can be the thing, that word can be the thing that gets them through what they're going through right now, Father. Help it to be that thing that helps their life, Father, be fruitful, we pray, Lord. And Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. And if there's somebody out there today, you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. He's wonderful, praise the Lord. And all you got to do is believe God's raised him from the dead. And all you got to do is pray this with me. Just pray with me. Father, I just thank you that you've raised Jesus from the dead. and I just confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Romans 9:10 says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, if you believe God's raised Jesus from the dead and you confess Jesus as Lord, you shall be saved. And so if you just pray that with me, you are saved right now. Praise the Lord. And I'd love to hear from you. And if you would, email me at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear from you. You've got any testimonies that God's done something special in your life? Make sure you write it down. Like we were talking about, don't be lazy. Write it down. Get us that testimony in there at jeremiahsministries@yahoo.com so we can be a blessing to someone else with our testimonies. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate your time. I hope that you have a wonderful day. If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to jeremiahsmithministries.podbean.com. Thank you for listening.